Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Welcome to Radio Labyrinth, Season 7, Episode 39. I'm wearing my Bills hat, even though they got their asses handed to them. Actually, they probably should have won that game against the Miami Dolphins last week. So, as a Bills fan, I look forward to them losing to the Ravens this week. And then,
yeah, they're going
to
beat the Ravens.
We'll see. And also, condolences to Jeff because the Giants should have beaten the Cowboys on Monday Night Football and did not. But I got to tell you,
our O-line just couldn't protect Daniel at all.
No. But the Cowboys defense is pretty good. And if you're going to watch Monday Night Football, the best way to watch it is the Manning cast with the two Manning brothers. They really set it up this year. You see Tracy Morgan on it.
Yeah.
Why? It was hilarious. You didn't like it?
I went to high school with Saquon Barkley's dad.
Tony Dorsett is my father. Daddy! And then he said, Herschel Walker is my third cousin. That's probably the only time you'll hear Herschel Walker being mentioned on a network without it being, he's an idiot and he tried to kill his wife. Sorry, I've been watching local news, and every commercial break is these stupid.
Your wife was in an anti-Herschel Walker commercial.
Yeah, she's not in. They're not showing that one anymore. Now you got Stacey Abrams talking to the classroom. Unfortunately, all the kids aren't masked, like in her photo shoot. And then you have, the governor doing his, and I'm just so sick of it. I can't wait till November. And this is all over. Although we'll probably have a runoff, which means another goddamn cycle.
Yeah. The ones I can't stand are the ones that are paid for by a group of people who have an opinion.
Yeah,
that's just care. The biggest shit.
You know, the cool thing about the Fire TV is you get the Tubi local and you have news and you can watch news without any commercials. Now, the music they play during the thing is boring, but it's better than political ads. And my mailbox is filling up every day. I'm saving them all so I can set fire to them because it's such a waste of money. You'd think that these groups who are so tied to protecting the environment wouldn't send out all these mailers and waste all that paper. But whatever. I don't care. Just tired of it. Get out of my head. Leave me alone. I don't care.
Get out of my head.
I don't care. It doesn't matter. Anyway, we'll. I'm done bitching. Hey, we had
Andrews is too extreme for Radio Labyrinth.
Too extreme for Radio Labyrinth. Andrews once supported blah blah blah. Tim Andrews voted for Tim Robbins. What was that movie he was in, where he was the Republican, the folk singing Republican.
Bob Roberts.
Yes, Bob Roberts. The times are changing back. Those are funny songs. He didn't put an album out, though. And the reason why he didn't put a soundtrack out is because he didn't want them to become anthems for the right. All right, moving on. We went to Portal Pinball in Acworth, Georgia on Saturday and met up with some folks. I want to say thank you to everybody that came out. And we got to meet Brett Perkins, who's one of our sponsors from LDI Repro Printing. And I'd never met him before. What a nice guy.
Yeah, he was really nice.
Like, yeah, it was cool to see him show up there.
Yeah, yeah. There's a few people there that would, you know, showed up and they were there the whole time. And then right at the end, they come up and said hello. And I was like, oh, I'll meet you. I've never seen your face before.
Especially the people who came up from our neck of the woods, Dustin, on the east side of town, because it was a slog, not a slog.
It was a hike for me to get there from west side. I live on the northwest side.
If you don't,
it took almost an hour to get there.
If you don't live in Atlanta, we have the perimeter, which I'm sure you've heard of if you've ever heard a rap song, 285 and 75 north, and everything was under construction. My GPS took me through East Cobb. So the highways were just horrible. So if you have to drive down here, don't drive through Atlanta. And this is a Saturday afternoon, so you would think it was easy. It was not easy, but we all got there, and people who came from the east side, Tim, Alan, he drove over there, and his family came, and
brought his whole crew.
Yeah, who else came? Dave Harrison, right?
Yep, Ira and his
character. Oh yeah, Ira, Barry the lead. Your friend, our friend, who? Oh yeah, Tony. I couldn't think of his name for a minute. It kicked me in the dart out of me. Tony showed up, and who else? Because I don't want to leave anybody
Kevin.
Out.
Kevin.
Yeah, that's right. Thank you, Kevin. Did I get everybody or no? I don't want to be a schmuck.
It was fun, though. The games are fun.
Yeah.
It's a cool little joint. They need a few more chairs in there, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't very sitting friendly, but... they had those old pinball games. I played Miss Pac-Man, the fast one, which I always liked the best. I was going to play Galaga, but I always stunk at that.
They had the original Missile Command with the big ball controller and the three buttons. That was awesome. Flash Gordon machine, pinball machine.
Those old pinball machines are harder than the new ones. I forgot how hard
they weigh a lot of open space.
Open
space, you know, breeds unpredictability with a pinball machine.
I liked it because it wasn't like going to a Dave and Buster's where you have to spend all this money. It's $10 bucks a full hour and you can unlimited play. Or what is it? It's
$20 bucks for all day.
Yeah, all day. That's what a bargain.
Yeah.
I mean, back in the day, $10 was 40 quarters. So that was a good long time.
I kept my stickers and I put it on the visor of my car. So I'm just going to go there at like an hour before the sticker says.
At 6:30. Like every Saturday.
But thanks to them for having us. Thanks to Ira for bringing the big pie in the sky pizza, which was really good. It was worth the heartburn. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was good.
It was
huge.
Yes. I was going to go to Las Vegas this week to see Aerosmith at the Park MGM Hotel in their residency, but the person who won the contest on WSB Radio to go with me and I were both concerned about the returning because of the storm that's coming, Hurricane Ian. So that's been postponed to December. So
how long is the residency there? Are they staying there forever now?
I don't know how long it is, but I know that they're doing a show on December 8th, and that's the one I'm going to.
Okay.
Yeah. When I go there, I'll bring my phone and record some fun stuff. Next week on the show, we have Josh Warren. We're going to talk about his adventures at the Bigfoot convention and also talk about some of the stuff he's going to be producing for Mike Hall and APNG, which of course is Atlanta Pizza and Euro. But before we get to Mike Hall, who's going to be joining us in a little bit, we have a guest this week on Radio Labyrinth. His name is Adam Murray. He's an actor and a comedian, most recently seen in the current season of Cobra Kai and also the last season of Stranger Things, where he created a media frenzy at a small town in South Carolina, right on the border near Augusta, I believe. It's quite a stir that he caused, a positive stir. And he's going to tell us a story about that, all caused by a vintage T-shirt that somebody gave him to wear as a, you know, wardrobe on Stranger Things. So that's pretty cool. Adam Murray is an American actor and a comedian who tours the country at various comedy clubs. Of course, like I said, he's best known for Stranger Things season 4. He's in Ron Howard's movie Hillbilly Elegy, She-Hulk and Cobra Kai. He's also been known to appear in many junk food videos on YouTube, some of which has gotten 7 million views, such as DIY Giant Takis. So it was a fun interview. He's a nice guy, and we hope you enjoy it, and we'll see you on the other side. nice to meet you. Thank you for coming on Radio Labyrinth, Adam.
Yeah, of course. Pleasure's all mine. I don't know where Tucker is.
Tucker, Georgia, you don't know where that is?
It's, I have no idea.
Sort of between Decatur and Lawrenceville.
Oh, okay. All east right. Atlanta.
Yeah, it's sort of east-ish Atlanta, Norcross-y, boonies. When I lived, before I moved here, I wouldn't even deign to come here. I'm not going to Tucker. Why would I go?
Yeah, I live in the boonies myself. Like, there's literally nothing up here but people with lifted trucks and Trump signs.
So you're saying you live in Midtown? No, where do you...
I live in Rydell, which is near a town called White.
Oh, okay. That's up there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm way up here.
What a name for a town, White.
Oh yeah. It's. I've thought about doing like a little video of it. Like they've got like a church called like the White Church and stuff. And I just there's. It feels so wrong. Like, I mean, it's the White Church is directly next door to this store where the guy is clearly an avid Trump supporter. He's got like, he must have 50 different like flags. What, like the Confederate flag and like a bunch of Trump flags and like, you know, fuck Joe Biden and all. And it's directly next door to this church. They put up signs like, you know, the Lord would forgive too, and you should, right next door to this guy.
Yeah. And the Lord saith, fuck Joe Biden.
Yeah, yeah. I went in there. It's a mercantile, which I was like, I don't know what the fuck a mercantile is, but I got to see now. It's basically like a store where you can buy everything from like ice cream to a hubcap for a 57 Chevy if you really needed one. They have like, you can literally buy wagon wheels there. They have everything.
Okay.
But apparently the guy that owns it is a really old white guy, shocker. But they, I was like, I don't normally walk into stores that have like the Confederate flag at. The lady behind the counter was like, oh yeah, that's the owner, that's his thing. Mm-hmm. He wasn't even there. I mean the lady there was super nice, but I think I'd lived here for well over a year before I was like, all right, let me go see what's in the store. And I passed by every day going, these guys must be crazy.
tell everybody where you came from. You're not from Atlanta originally.
No, I'm from Florida. Which, I mean, if ever there's a town with more, or a state with more lifted trucks and Trump flags, it's got to be Florida. But I was born in South Florida, but I've lived the last 20 years of my life in Orlando. So the majority of my life at this point was in Orlando until I moved here. I moved here because of, I was in a Ron Howard movie on Netflix called Hillbilly Elegy, and I figured that being in that when it came out would be enough to uptick my career a little bit, and so there's more opportunity here for, you know, acting and so forth. And I feel like, I mean, I'm a comic as well, and I feel like they're symbiotic, so the more acting stuff I get, the more comedy stuff I can do, you know. So
yeah, I had seen you in Hillbilly Elegy, and then when I saw you're featuring for Felipe Esparza.
Oh, nice. You coming out to the live.
Yeah.
The punchline?
Yep.
Oh, hell yeah, man. Yeah, that was a fun time.
And earlier tonight, yeah. I was watching your YouTube channel where you have a, this was Shot at the Skull. You're talking about the movie and how it got nominated for
makeup. Yeah. Yeah. Nominated for two Oscars. Yeah.
Yeah. And that created your look.
Yeah, yeah. I that's a true story. That whole thing about like my acting teacher calling me out for, you know, saying that I'd work a lot more and book a lot more if I cut my hair and shave my beard. It was literally the day before I booked that movie. So everything I say in that joke is exactly the way it happened. And I'm not certain if she loves that joke or hates that joke. I mean, she knows that I love her, but I think she was legitimately trying to give me the best advice she thought I could, or she thought she could, because I think what she was going for is more like, and in the Florida market, it's a lot more of an emphasis on commercials. And when I was living and working in Florida, especially Orlando, there were a lot of casting directors that were like, we don't know where to put this guy. the only reason I was ever able to do something for Publix was because I was like, I met the guy who's in charge of all the Publix ads and stuff in an acting class, and he really liked me. So they have what's called industrials, which are like when you work a job, they play a video for you to learn something.
Right.
Those are industrials. And so he wrote one just for me that was like the employee not to be. And so I worked at like a fake burger joint and gave like horrible customer service to. So now anyone who goes to work for Publix gets to see me, you know, like, this is how you don't do these things. But yeah, I mean, so there were a lot of casting directors in Florida that just didn't know what to do with me until I got an Atlanta agent, and then I started booking stuff. And then like, I mean, there was a Florida casting director who literally told my agent she didn't like my hair and didn't want to have anything to do with me until I was in a Ron Howard film. Then she booked me in the very next thing. She auditioned me for like, oh, I knew the whole time. I knew the whole thing. Yeah. He was always great. I don't know what anyone else is talking about. This guy is awesome.
But it's great that you're in Atlanta where you can get that opportunity to get in these shows that are being made here, and they're making everything here, but top name shows. And that's boost you up a little bit, I'm sure. I mean,
let's throw something out there. Stranger Things.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm in two episodes of season four of Stranger Things. I'm in She-Hulk. I'm in season five of Cobra Kai. I get called a dirt bag by Johnny, which that guy was awesome. I spent all day with him. It was like I was buddy with Billy Zabka by the end of the day. It felt pretty cool. And I got a movie coming out in like 2 weeks, 3 weeks, beginning, middle-ish of October. I can't say what that is though yet. Okay.
Is it coming out in theaters or is it streaming?
Yeah, it's going to be in like every theater nationwide. It's a Sony movie that they've sunk a couple hundred million dollars into, which should be probably some people can figure it out from that. But
Shot here in Atlanta.
I'm looking at your IMDb. Is it listed there?
Probably not talking about.
No. They with a lot of this stuff. It won't hit my IMDb until like a day or two after it comes out. For a lot of this stuff, for whatever reason, they really try to be like this movie in particular. It doesn't make sense why they're being very secretive about it. Like the Marvel stuff and Cobra Kai and Stranger Things, I totally get. Like they even name everything something completely different. Like with She-Hulk, the name of the show that I auditioned for, that I booked, that I was supposedly shooting, was Clover. They called it Clover. Stranger Things was Tereka. I forget what they called Cobra Kai. They all have different names.
Yeah.
And then a lot of it, like there's another Marvel show I did called The Gifted. They called it Heaven. And a lot of like everything, like all the PAs, when they have their badges, it'll have the other show's name on it. Every bit of paperwork has the other show's name on it because they try to slow down or stop spoilers from happening. And even with She-Hulk, they actually went a step further than any other show I've been on. I wasn't 100% certain which episode I was going to be on until it aired. I thought it was episode four, but they number them in three digits. It'll be the the season followed by what episode. So they originally told me it was episode 206. So I was like, are they filming two seasons back to back? And I don't know about it. But there was like on my check at the end and in the breakdown, it said 104 on it. And I was like, okay, so I think it's the fourth episode. So I really didn't know. And that's complicated because like I've got a manager in LA now and they make like these little graphics. So like, you gotta put it on an Instagram so people know. And like, I feel like more people are watching the show than I've like, no, there's millions of people that are watching the show. I've got like 2,000 people on my Instagram. But all right. Yeah. So, but we have to, you know, to make stuff like that, they want to list like the episode number and stuff like that. And a lot of that is for like other casting directors and stuff to see or whatever sort of bullshit like that. But it's hard to make stuff like that when you don't have the details, you know?
Right.
But, and the other thing is that you really don't know if you're even going to make the show. Like for Cobra Kai, they, I got an email from them after I was there saying that they wanted to book me for another week. I think it was the following week or the week after that. They're like, mark this down because we're going to have you another episode. And I was like, oh, shit. I mean, I must have hit it off better with Billy than I thought. And then, like, I think it was, like, the day before the shooting window was supposed to start, and when I was like, I haven't taken a COVID test or anything. Like, this seems odd. They sent an email going, yeah, never mind. The writers wrote them out. And I was like, so ever since I was going, I bet that they watch the dailies, which is like they when they film stuff after they get the footage together before it's edited, they watch all the takes and whatnot, you know, of the week or the day or whatever. And I bet there were half of them, they were like, we can't use that. This guy is grinning like an idiot. Because I'm just standing there going, dude, this is so cool. Like, they're going to fight over here. This is so awesome. I'm here. So I figured half the takes they had of me, they just couldn't even use. And I was like, oh, shit. So maybe they watched it and were like, nope. He might have been a nice guy, but we can't have him back on set. I felt like I was like that with Cobra Kai and with Stranger Things. So they're two of my favorite shows even before I got on them. And so I was just like,
that's cool to love those shows and the next thing you know you're in them.
Oh yeah, dude, with Stranger Things, the they have these chairs you sit in, you know, the most people know them as director chairs. So like, yeah, a wooden cloth and arm. Cloth thing. And it says cast on the chairs, but on the Stranger Things one, it said cast in the Stranger Things font. So it was like that red, like, you know, bubbly letters. And I was just going like, holy shit, look at these. These are so cool. And everyone else is like, yeah, these are our chairs you sit in. We sit in every day.
And you're pretty big in Aiken now for the show.
Yeah. So there's a series of events that led to that. So for anyone that has no idea, basically the shirt I wore in episode 6 of Stranger Things, they make you wear everyone wears real vintage clothing in the show. And if they can't find something that's truly vintage, like if they need a boot or something, they make it. But they tend to only make stuff for like the leads. Everyone else is just found vintage clothing. And I'm a t-shirt and jeans kind of guy. So when we were going through the options, I told them this t-shirt was my favorite option, but ultimately I have no pull on that. Like the only thing I would have more of a pull on is say no to something, which I did do we shot that scene for 16 hours in May of last year in the height of COVID. So they weren't using the air conditioner because they were worried that, you know, there's a whole thing like it's if someone in the corner of the building has COVID, everyone else is going to die because air circulation. So they had like a truck outside pumping air in to the adjacent room, which was terrible. But they, I'm wearing like in that scene, I'm wearing an undershirt, t-shirt, a like a flannel thing, and then this denim jacket that was lined with wool that was like this thick, and a hat and work boots and these heavy jeans. And one of the looks they were putting me in was underneath the jacket, they wanted me to wear a sweater because it's like fall. And I was like, no, you have any idea how hot it's going to be? Like, I'm going to be brewing soup. Like, I can't have all that. Like, that's horrible. And so that was the only thing I know that I definitely was able to be like, she was like, oh, okay, no, we're just trying to get lit. I'm like, I ain't going to live in this for a day. Like, I can't. But when I went on set, originally I only had one line. Like, I auditioned for Everything You See that I eventually did in the episode, but I found out the day before I went to set that they had split it into two people, and I was person number two of the two people, and I had just one line, which is the first one I said, where I'm like sitting down and screaming like, it's been days, and you tell me why it's not behind that whole thing. We went through rehearsals, and there was no one else in the room other than the cast that was speaking in the room while we're doing rehearsals. And there's some acting teachers that'll tell you not to give it your all during rehearsals and to just, you know, save it for camera, they say. And I think that's what this lady was doing, because there's another lady in that scene who's screaming at the sheriffs too. And she recently had that whole thing where, like, she was, like, you know, marching out and getting everyone to follow her and starting to mob. And when she did it during rehearsals, she sounded like the mom of a toddler. She was like, all right, come on, everybody, let's go. And I saw that, and I was like, I mean, that's not how I did it at all. And I guess that's what they wanted. All right. And we did it a couple times, and they sent us to the green room where I saw those chairs and flipping out. And next thing I know, a PA came and got her and I and brought us a set. And they brought us to someone who I would later find out was a director of this. In a project this big, there's so many moving parts that, like, I mean, even when the a lot of times when the director was directing, he would say something that someone else would yell out to everybody else to echo it out, kind of thing. So there's just so many people there that I truly did. I'm looking for the Duffer Brothers. I'm like, I don't know. Am I someone else? I was like, surely they'll just be walking hand in hand, like, you know, finishing each other's sentences and stuff. Like, I don't know. But I was in one of the episodes that was, well, both of the episodes I was in were directed by, I believe it was Sean Levy is his name. And he pulled us aside and he was like, listen, we've got 1,000 pages of script. Sometimes lines get crossed, there's miscommunication. That being said, he looks at her and goes, you're not saying those lines anymore. He is. And she was like, what about the scene with the dog? He's like, yeah, he's going to do that too. And I was like, is there a dog here? I like dogs. Can I pet it? And he was like, there's no dog here. The way he said it, I realized two things. Number one, he was embarrassed for having to do this. And number two, she was fucking pissed. And yeah. I truly didn't understand. Like, I knew she was being downgraded and I was being upgraded. And I didn't realize until the end of the day that I went from one line to recurring, and she went from recurring down to one line, which is a massive change for both of us. And so she was just livid the whole rest of the day, which I got to say, her performance is great now. Like, she was really, she looks pissed.
Good method acting.
Yeah, they really brought it out in her. And I mean, I feel terrible for that lady, but had that not happened, I don't think anyone would have noticed that I was wearing that shirt, because I would have only had the line sitting down. And I was seated like in the middle of the crowd, and she was originally seated behind the microphone where you see me, and they switched us.
Right.
So you can see me the whole scene sitting there, because every time they show the crowd, you can see me plain as day. And then I get up and walk out, and that's when you see me close up with the shirt. So it wasn't until after the second release, someone, I guess, watched the whole thing. Her name is Amy. So the shirt I was wearing was for a high school that still exists in Aiken, South Carolina. She shared this photo, and it basically went viral. It got like 1,000 shares in Aiken and the surrounding areas, like Augusta, Georgia, and whatnot. And someone from the school reached out to me, and I was like, I'm willing to come do a fundraiser for you guys. If, you know, someone has a couch for me to stay on or whatever, I'll just come in and sign autographs, whatever. If you guys can figure out a way to monetize it. And they're like, sure. So at that point, there was, you know, nothing planned other than me being willing to go out there. And they got a local t-shirt shop to reprint the shirts and agreed to ship them for them and everything, and give all the proceeds to the school. Wow. And they were selling them like hotcakes. They were selling them by the hundreds. And that was going great until the guy who, I guess, originally printed the shirt some 40 years ago went to them and was like, where's my cut?
And
they were like, well, all the proceeds are going for the kids, so no, there's no cut for you. And so he got a lawyer involved and sent him a cease and desist.
What a dick.
And he sent it, yeah, right?
Oh my God, why did people like that? Fucking
dude, man. I called the guy and I tried to talk some sense into him. I was like, dude, it was originally made for a children's charity for the school. So if you're going to resell them, I think you should also give proceeds to the school. I get it. You want to be the one to make them or whatever. Fine. I mean, it was like pulling teeth talking to this dude. He was as slick as a politician. Mm. I spent like 90 minutes to 2 hours on the phone with him. And obviously I don't have any dog in the fight. Like I don't get a penny from those shirts. It's all going to the kids. Right. And he tried to, it took almost 2 hours to convince him to finally be like, he's like, cause his original idea was, well, I'll sell them on my website and I'll print them for the school and the school can sell them. And I said, you guys are fighting for the same customer base.
Right.
And you're going to have a better website than any school will.
Right.
So you're going to get all the e-commerce sales. And the only people that are going to buy the shirts from the school are going to be people directly in contact with the school. So children and parents, and it's just not going to be fair. You're going to sell them 5-1 to the school. And he was like, that's probably fair. And then he couldn't come to terms with the principal. I don't know what dealings he's had with the principal before, but the principal was like, I don't want to deal with him. So just kind of, so it wasn't entirely that guy's fault, but at the same time, it was like, why? Come on, what asshole is going to be like, I just want, where's my cut of this children's charity?
Like, money.
So I've never publicly said who the guy is, because I didn't think that was going to help anything. I never really lambasted the dude publicly. What I did instead was I had already tried to set up a comedy show there because I figured there's going to be some expense to me going out there. You know, someone who owned a hotel there gave me a free room to stay. And I was like, all right, so gas money.
That's cool.
I was like, you know what? I can profit from a comedy show and I would feel fine with that. But I don't want to ask any penny I get from the school as a penny that doesn't go to the kids. So I didn't want to get any money from them. And setting up that comedy show was a whole other nightmare because the city owned it. And so it was like dealing with the DMV for, you know, I mean, it was literally a month of phone calls and emails going back and forth before I was even able to publicly say we're having this. Mm. And so probably a week or two into selling tickets for it, and I had said I was going to give a portion of the proceeds to the school, but I had to figure out how profitable the show was going to be because I have I had a set amount of expenses. I got to pay the comics, I had to pay the venue, which was the whole thing. Like, it went from I feel like they were like, well, it's this guy from TV. He's got a lot of money. He's like, every time I talk to them, like that was part of the issue. The price went up. It was going to be like $300 to rent this venue. And I was like, oh, that's cheap. And then it was like $1,100. And then it was like $1,500. And then $1,800. And then like $2,200. And then like $2,500. And like $3,000. And I was just like, I mean, I stopped responding to them when it got close to $3,000. And they were like, they wrote me back like, you didn't sign the contract. And I was like, I got to be real honest with you. Like, I'm really to the point where I'm thinking about not even doing this. It doesn't make any financial sense. Like, I would have to sell like $100 tickets to make this make sense.
Yeah.
You know, for $3,000 for one night to rent a venue that seats a little over 300. That's just ridiculous. You know, like if
this is a movie, by the way, this is a movie starring people and write it and make this movie. I mean, take out all the Stranger Things stuff, but it's a great story.
Dude, it was like I ended up talking it back down to like $1,400. So, but I had to hire a guy and pay him 10% to do negotiations for me from that point with the venue. And to like, that's when they really started to negotiate, was when I hired someone else.
Right.
And they weren't talking to me. And then like, I had to, I had to get hotel rooms for that guy, two comics, and mine was covered. So three hotel rooms, the venue, I had to pay the dude 10% plus pay each of my comics. So I'm like sitting there going like, all right, it ended up costing me around $6,000, I think, wow, to put on this show. Cause I also had to give money to the school. And so when this guy did the thing about messing up the t-shirts, I was like, you know what? Instead of, I had already sold enough tickets that I was like, I feel like I can feel comfortable with saying I'll give $5 for every ticket sold to the school. And I mean, the amount of small town politics that was going on, dude, I was talking to some people about it. Like, local businesses called me out and stuff. It's a small town, so no one's in a hurry for anything.
Right.
So, ticket sales the first week were like, I sold like a third of the tickets the first week, and then it was just a trickle until the day of the show. People were buying tickets until it finally sold out. And it was just like that's what they basically, everyone told me, is like, no, it's small town, it's Aiken. So they're like, yeah, you know, we'll get to it when we get to it. And even negotiations with the theater were like that. Like, I didn't find out that I could sell alcohol to the people at the show until like a week before, and then it's too late to get permits and stuff at that point. But it was just like, I mean, it was like,
oh yeah, it was just,
we gotta wait until, you know, we get the team together on Monday, and we can go over it with our risk assessment team, and we'll sit down and talk about it. And then we're done with that. We're going to have to send an email to Billy Joe Jim Bob, and he's going to have to look it up. I mean, it was, you would think it would be just maybe a day or two of back and forth with emails, right, and phone calls, and have that. I shit you not, it was the better part of a month just to get everything set up. And I finally told him, I was like, listen, this is the simplest show you guys will have. It's one microphone and, you know, some audio, you know, as the comics are walking up, if you have it, and if you don't, fine. A light and a microphone. We're not putting on Macbeth here. Like, it should be super simple. And it was after I said that, they were like, oh, okay. They kind of figured it out. I was just like, man. But like, it was, so then the other thing that happened is once the, so because it's small town politics, once the one guy was like, you know, the t-shirt dude was like, well, they're stealing my design. And so like, some people are like, well, we're sticking with that guy. And like, here I am stuck in the middle of it. Like, and so like, when we did the show, there were, when we finally did the show, there were four front and center tickets, seats with no one sitting in them. Like, when I walked out, I was like, do these people all go to the bathroom at the same time? They're like, no one's been there the whole time. I was like, well, clearly they're fans of the other t-shirt shop. People went nuts.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, fucking, who wants to come sit here? Like, they shouldn't go to waste. Who in the back wants to come fucking sit up front? Like, three chicks came running to the front. And then I just did the show, and I was like, it was a ton of fun. I made fun of the mayor. Fucking mayor came to the show. He was sitting in the balcony, and I was like, historically speaking, balconies haven't been real good to political figures. Like, I feel like Lincoln would have been like, you know what, maybe sit up front, you'd be fine. The view's better.
Yeah, come on down.
Yeah. But I decided to do like a question and answer thing at the end of the show, because I figured if I didn't, I'm going to have, you know, 200 people coming by and asking me, so how many of the main cast did you get to meet? You know, and I'd be answering that over and over again. So I said I was going to do this question and answer thing. And I told all of my, you know, comics and stuff. So I figured I would do like normally a headliner would do, you know, like 45 minutes. I was going to do like 35 and then do another 10 or 15 of just questions and answers, which I figured would be enough time. And the moment I said, if we turn the house lights up, I'm going to answer some questions, the comic that I had hosting for me, her name is Alex Libby. She's a local, I brought local comics from Atlanta. Alex Libby and Jimmy Fontaine came and opened for me. I knew them both from Florida, but they both live in Atlanta now. And Alex came running out and grabbed the microphone from me. And she was like, before we go any further, we actually have a special guest here tonight that wants to come say anything. So with that being said, everybody give it up for the mayor of Aiken. And then the fucking mayor came out and he was like, you know, this is truly amazing. You really never know what small thing could, you know, change your life and bring a community like this together, which is basically just a t-shirt you happen to wear and a TV show. And basically they found out that the t-shirt shop sold, I think it was 967 shirts. And the they ended up making for the school around $11,000 on the dot.
Wow.
And I shared their Venmo, and they got another 1,500 or more, a little more than 1,500 from that. And then I gave them from proceeds from the show and from this other event that I did afterwards, I gave them a little over $2,000. So they made around 15 grand for the school from me being in the show. And the mayor presented me the key to the city. I've never had a key to the city before.
How big is it? Oh, look at that.
Nice.
That get you into anything any time of day, or
you can get in Chick-fil-A on Sunday.
Yeah. I was like, yeah, that'd be great. I was like, what fucking door does this open? Yeah. I was like, it's not very secure. Like, I can pick that lock with chopsticks. Look at the size of this fucking thing. I was like, I'm just gonna walk around every door in this city, like, see what the fuck this thing opens. But
a lot more auditions and stuff now because of all this.
It comes and goes. I'm being considered for a lot larger things now.
I mean, you're part of the Marvel Universe now. So.
Yeah.
I mean, there's been three times since the first episode of, I think it's been since the first episode of Strange Things. It might have started a little before. But there's been three times in the last couple of months that I have been considered for something that would probably, it would change at the very least the whole course of my year, if not like, you know, be life-changing financially, some of them.
Right.
Like, massive roles in big TV shows kind of thing. So it's like, or at the very least, like, numerous episodes. Mm. And so I'm just like, come on!
Yeah.
At some point, one of them's got to land, I feel like, you know? I keep getting... Go ahead.
I was going to say, so no more eating Arby's with JP and Julia?
Yeah. I mean, dude, that day, we ate everything on the Arby's menu. And I feel like they probably should have told us that the bathroom there has one toilet and doesn't work very well.
For everyone that doesn't know, there's a YouTube channel called Healthy Junk Food, and it's healthyjunkfood.com. JP and Julia, and they're in Orlando now, right?
Yeah. They're from upstate New York.
Yeah, and they do these awesome videos, and they'll make large versions of fast food, and they'll try all the fast foods, and Adam was on one episode where they tried the entire Arby's menu.
Oh.
Yeah, we did. I think I did like everything on the Arby's menu, everything on the Five Guys menu, everything on the Wendy's menu, which Wendy's is my first job, so they were surprised that I knew everything on the menu, which it's not a very big menu. Like, Arby's is surprisingly a massive menu. I don't know how often you go to Arby's, but they have a ton of stuff.
They have way more than a fast food restaurant should have.
Yes, like I don't know how. Yeah, exactly. I found out when we did that they have amazing onion rings, like the type of onion rings you would expect from like a steak restaurant. And then shortly after we did that video, they discontinued those onions. I was like when I went with my dad, all he ever got was like the shittiest version of like the beef and cheddar.
Yeah.
And they were like $5 for $1 or something. He would buy a bunch. He'd buy a bag full.
Chicken cordon bleu sandwich that I always love to get. I don't know if they still have it, but that's my go-to, the chicken cordon.
Right, and that's a good one. They got the beef dip. Yep. They've got
secret red ranch sauce.
Yeah, they got jalapeno poppers. They have a burger there called the Meat Mountain. I think it is.
Yeah,
it's a hidden menu item. That's I think it's $10, and it's every meat they have.
Oh my god! They
put, like, everything from a fried chicken to. It's not on the menu. It's a secret item. You have to ask for it. But it's a stack of a sandwich. Like there's no human on earth can take a bite from bun to bun. Like, you just can't.
If my colon weren't 50 years old, I would go try it.
Maybe you should. It'll flush it out.
Yeah, it will. Absolutely.
Are you doing any comedy shows?
I don't have anything on the calendar right now, specifically because I was, being looked at for this TV show, and they were like, they do what's called an avail check, where they're like, we want to know your availability on this shoot window. And typically they just ask you for when the dates are scheduled for you to shoot. And their shoot window went from before they asked me to like the middle or end of January.
Wow.
And I was like, holy shit. And it was to play I don't want to say exactly. I look like someone who was very famous at one point in their field. And I looked surprisingly a lot like him. And so I was just like, oh man, this would be fucking huge if I can get this. And so it's been a number of things like that I've been like, I can't add anything to the calendar because I don't want to. Dude, I was supposed to go to London. I canceled my trip to London.
No, man.
Because of stuff like this.
Everybody's going to be speculating who you look like in their field.
Trying to figure it out in the comments.
Yes.
But, yeah, I mean, I probably shouldn't have even said that much. But so I was close to booking that. I mean, that would have been fucking life-changing to book that. I mean, that's 5 months of work.
You'll get it. You'll find one.
I mean, it'll be something. It won't, might not be that one, because it's been like a week or two now since they asked.
Well, you're in the right place, and you made the right decision coming here. And I'm telling you that the whole story about what happened in Aiken, that is something you could, I don't know, you got to do something with that, because that's a great story from start to
finish. It's crazy, man. That whole thing was, I was like Brad Pitt in that city. There was no place I could go where you know what I kept hearing. I didn't get used to it, but I knew what it meant every time I heard it was this like this quick deep inhale the moment someone recognized who I was. I went to a sushi restaurant with this dude. And we sat down in front of the sushi chef, and he was talking with him, and we're getting sushi. And he tells the guys, this guy's in Stranger Things as the guy's chopping up sushi. And he doesn't even look up. And he's like, yeah, never got into that show. I tried to watch it once. It wasn't for me. And almost as if on cue, right after he says that, this table of girls start screaming at the top of their lungs. Oh my God, it's a Stranger Things guy. And they come over and I get photos with all of them. And then I sit back down, the sushi chef like, you're really in Stranger Things? I was like, yeah, do you think he was lying to you? And then he's like, will you take a picture of my dad? And like all of a sudden this guy's dad is here. Like, I don't know where this guy's dad came from. I took a picture with him and the guy was like, can I be in the bag? Like, 5 seconds ago, I didn't give a fuck who I was. Like, and then all of a sudden, but it was like that everywhere. I went into this whiskey bar, and because they were known for having all these hard to find whiskeys, and there was a dude like sitting at the bar who looked over at me and like picked up his phone and was just like, like I. I saw it because like the whole phone screen turns white. And I think I was like, we can take a photo, dude. He's like, oh, no, I didn't know. Yeah, I didn't realize what was happening. But, like, it's all right. We can take a photo. But I mean, it was weird. Like, I'm not used to that level of attention. I mean, I went and played one of the things I did for charity was like, it was like a low country boil and mini golf. Like someone could win the opportunity to play mini golf with me, which I thought was odd, but I was like, all right, whatever. And as we're playing mini golf, I get a message on Facebook from someone, and I look down and I read it, and it was this girl. She's like, hey, I'm real nervous. I'm standing over near the start of the putt-putt thing. We're out on the course. And she's like, would you mind coming over and just signing an autograph for me real quick? And like, I was like, oh, yeah, sure. And I just walked over, and she's like shaking. And I was like, it's okay. So I'm just nervous. I'm like, it's just me. Like, I signed this thing for her. She's like, thank you. I mean, you would have thought I was one of the Beatles. It was crazy. That's so weird.
Thanks for coming on here with us.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, of course, fun. Man. I was happy you guys asked me to do this. This is fun.
Hey, everybody. Radio Labyrinth is brought to you each and every week by our two great sponsors. One of them is waiting to join us on the show, so we'll get to him after this one. Brett Perkins and LDI Repro Printing. Brett, who we did get to meet at our pinball meetup, he wants to know if you have any commercial or residential construction printing needs. And by the way, he said he's gotten a couple of calls from our podcast, so that to me, it says it's working. So if you're looking for some cheap advertising, we're your go-to. But anyway, if you need commercial or residential construction printing, just contact LDI Repro Printing of Athens in Athens, Georgia, since 2005, with fast turnaround and affordable prices. Call 706-316-9366 or email them at athens@ldiline.com. Thanks again, Brett. And of course, our longtime sponsor who's been with us for years, good friend of ours, Mike Hall from Atlanta Pizza in Euro. Mike, how are you?
Staying busy, guys. Staying busy.
Now, you have some news about some stuff that's going to be going on at Atlanta Pizza in Euro, which we'll get to in a second, but we want to thank you personally and live. And I was going to do it as Pat McAfee, but it'll hurt my voice too much to do it. And I'm started working on it doing a Yinzer accent. I love it.
Need more punts.
Yeah. Need more punts. I like that punt. This show is great. Anyway, you're our longest sponsor, and I'd like everyone out there to know that they can stop by the restaurant and grab an ice-cold local craft brew like Wicked Weed's Pernicious IPA in cans, and Tantrum Brewing's Poems at Midnight Sour Berliner Weisse on tap. Now, where is Tantrum Brewing?
In Cleveland, Georgia. North Cleveland, Georgia.
Georgia, okay.
Mm-hmm.
In that home in the Cabbage Patch Kids?
Yes, it is. That's correct.
Yeah, Cleveland, Georgia.
I passed through there on the way to take my son to Young Harris. He goes to school there.
Oh, nice. Did you stop by the Cabbage Patch and get a new sign?
I didn't. You know, I kind of went through that. I didn't have a daughter, so we never went through the Cabbage Patch thing. But that was actually when we were kids, I remember. Or we were, yeah, it was in the 80s, wasn't it?
It was 81 or 82, I think.
Yeah. I'm the same age as you, so you're a little bit older than me. I was born December 70. So, yeah, I remember all that stuff.
I remember wanting one, and everybody looked at me. That was nuts. A friend of mine had one. Her name was Carrie, and her mom got her one for Christmas. And I wanted one because I liked the way they smelled. It smelled like a baby, not like the diaper.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Doesn't smell like old cabbage?
No, it smelled like stork shit.
No. I made him smell like strawberries or something, I think. Or no, that was another doll. No, strawberry shortcake.
Strawberry shortcake. That's right. You don't want to know what I did to that doll.
What do the Care Bears smell like?
You don't want to know what I did to my Care Bear. He had a big vagina on his chest.
He has a glory hole bear.
Glory hole. Speaking of which, anyway, if you're a business or a corporate client, look in for a food truck for your next private event or catered luncheon. please contact Mike Hall at Atlanta Pizza and Euro by calling 770-483-6228. And you guys, of course, are open for dining and takeout Monday through Friday from 11 to 9, Saturday 12 to 9, closed on Sunday.
That is correct.
And your food truck is open anytime if people book it.
If you book it, then we're available, sure.
All right.
I'm learning so much about that business. Hats off to your guests, Larry and Emily, who are doing Low Bites, and they've got they killed it for years. So it is hard work to do that setup and not know what you're going to make, and it's hard to hold all that together. So hats off to them and other operators for doing what they do. My dogs want me to pet her just now.
Hey, do you ever do donuts in it?
I've never done donuts ever. I'm good friends with a funnel cake operator.
No, I mean, do you ever do donuts in a parking lot in the van? Been around. Go mud.
You know, I was hoping that Steph came with you guys that Tuesday night because I was gonna let her drive the food truck around the parking lot. But next time she comes out, I'm gonna say, hey Steph, this is your dream. I'm gonna let you drive the food truck.
She'll drive it and you'll never see it again.
She'll take it straight to her house.
Yeah. Be parked and live off the pizza. She'll drive it in the woods and live off of the pizza book. As long as she has Wi-Fi.
Yeah. Yeah. You can cook just about anything on that thing. It's a big old pizza oven.
So what's going on at Atlanta Pizza and Euro right now? You're a film set for something?
Rumor has it. Yeah, I can't actually say much. I talked to them yesterday, and they said, please don't reveal anything other than it's filming. Okay. No, it's okay. I mean, I think I might have mentioned a little more detail to you before I knew, but I know you won't say anything, but it's all good. They're filming scenes on Thursday. It's a feature film. That's what I can say. Okay. And it's I'm not going to speculate anymore because I don't want to make anybody mad.
Trouble. You're closing down for the day. Get that sweet.
Our location has finally, closing to the public on Thursday, the 29th of September. So that's a first for us. But I've been putting up signs, and I've been putting it on social media, and I've had to turn off my DoorDash, my Uber Eats, my Grubhub, my Slice, all the online ordering things and deliveries, so they know that we can't have any business on Thursday.
So that'll like all the restaurants in Tucker temporarily closed.
I want to be open when I can. They're going to take care of all that stuff. They came in the other day and looked at everything and did their measurements, and they like it. They seem to be very happy with our look. As you know, the folks that maybe haven't been to the restaurant we have a very retro 80s look to us, and it's not anything other than the real thing, because I've just been either too cheap to fix it or change it, or it's just lasted that long. And this restaurant has changed hands a few times since the 80s, but I've had it since 1999, and one of the first things I wanted to do was not change it. So that, I guess, lends itself now to, in full circle, it's a cool place. So it's become kind of come into its own.
The wood paneling in there is American made. That's why it's lasting.
It's original. It's original. Right. Yeah, it's the real deal.
Mica.
All the cigarette smoke stains and everything before they told us we couldn't smoke. There used to be half the restaurant was smoking. The other half was non-smoking. Like there was no separation.
The smoke on one side.
You did. That was the whole joke. It was kind of funny. We had waitresses used to smoke in the back hallway at the time clock. They had an ashtray back there.
Dude, I used to smoke while I was cooking. I was a grill cook. And also a dinner cook at this restaurant when I was in college. And I'd be making a burger, and I'd have one cigarette dangling over the side of the grill while I'm making the burger and warming up the bun, cutting the onions up on the grill. The ting, 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 ting. Of course, I always smoked when I was cleaning the grill or smoked. We had an ashtray on the cutting board table and I would be cooking steaks and making crab legs and shit with a cigarette dangling out of my mouth. And
special also, spice.
That's right. I was careful not to get any in the food, as far as I knew.
Of course.
No, I did saboteur type stuff at McDonald's. Like, I found out that if you put oil on a grill and you put a booger on it, it puffs up like a Rice Krispie.
Oh, Jesus. That's nasty.
It does. It pops up like a Rice Krispie.
Now, I got my health inspection today, I'll have you know. And I don't think
you're doing that, are you?
Yeah,
we did. McDonald's, the only thing I ever did was pull out pubic hairs and put it in salad mix.
All right.
Dustin, cut that out.
Oh, you don't have to cut it out.
No, don't. No. I, always laugh when Tim goes blue. I love it, but it's just it's as long as you know it's not my place.
There's blue and there's ooh. I think that falls under ooh there.
And then what color is ooh?
Get our Radio Labyrinth poster in the movie.
Yeah.
Oh gosh,
they don't want the truth.
Yeah, I have no control over anything other than they're getting to use my place for a day. That's about it. I'm going to feed them too. I can say that. I'm going to feed them breakfast and lunch.
So they're taking all day, like at 7 a.m.
I have no idea exactly what time the call is. You know, I don't want to. I really don't know. Right. I'm going to be there super early, getting everything ready and make it easy on them. Honestly, this is a dream come true because number one, I've been wanting to use my restaurant as location. I think it's cool. And number two, I love that facet of creativity in Atlanta. I was telling, you know, mutual friend, Josh Warren, you know, cause he actually is a friend of a friend of the casting location person who's found us. And I think it's because of Josh's help that we actually got this, but I've been wanting to do this for years with the restaurant. So this is great. You know, there's so much stuff that goes on around Conyers and Covington and the area. It's just, hey, you know, I'd love it.
Josh is going to join us next week. So before we wrap up this week, what are you doing with Josh in the fall, later in the fall?
Oh, gosh. Well, I mean, that's all kind of, you know, we're in the planning stages. Yeah, of course. Well, okay. I enjoy what you all do on the podcast, and I'm very, very interested in creative, funny things. And I can't help but think, if you just throw a little money at something, what would happen? So I was interested in seeing if Josh's company could help us with some skits and some productions, and where they are interested, and very much so. And we work some, you know, details down, and we're, you know, yeah, let's do it.
All
right. We're going to be working with them on some things, and we'll be hopefully getting them written and planned and done and all that. And hopefully you guys can get involved if you like.
Yes.
We would love some input and some ideas, as always, because you guys are funny as hell, and we enjoy it. We're all fans. So yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I'd love it.
All right.
You guys made me laugh. You said, thanks for being a long-term sponsor. Thanks for doing what you guys do. I'm really proud of you guys. I'm proud of how you know, you make this a great thing to listen to week after week. And it's an awesome, I'm grateful. I'm grateful for your being able to let me be a sponsor.
Well, we're grateful for you, and Jeff grateful for the glory hole. Just kidding. We are grateful to you, man. Thank you very much. And
thank you.
Updated on the production that's getting done out there, because of course
I will. And I'll let you know. I'll take some pictures.
Come back and tell us how it was.
Maybe I can get them to come on too. I mentioned it to the production guys, there was all a lot of things going on at the same time. But I said, yeah, this is I pointed to the wall. Your Hall of Fame area on the wall. There's two big things up there for Radio Labyrinth. So I always tell people that come in, I say, hey, you see the Wall of Fame over there? So we need to get some more doodles and some stuff on the walls too. Maybe even like a caricature of you guys or something would be awesome. I'd love to do that. Put it on the walls.
Maybe a caricature of you. Even
there is one out there. It's on the menu, remember?
Oh yeah.
Yes. Yeah, my ad guy, he actually came up with that, and he kind of surprised me with it, and it stuck. So it wasn't my idea, I swear. I'm not a narcissist.
we're gonna wrap up, so why don't you stick with us so you can give us a keep it canon.
Oh wow, that'd be awesome. Yeah.
Let me just say a couple of things. No, I don't want to update things right now, Apple or Mac, or whatever. I don't need to update anything. Next week on the show, we are going to have Dustin. He's on every week. We're going to have Josh Warren. He's going to talk about stuff that he's working on with Action Show Studios. And also, he went to a Bigfoot convention, and they're making a documentary about that. And that'll be a lot of fun. What else? We're trying to put together, speaking of Mike, a Halloween event at Atlanta Pizza and Euro. Hopefully, we can get that done. We just have to make sure that Mike's cool with it and that people would want to come, and we'll start promoting it. What else? If you'd like to become a Patreon member of Radio Labyrinth, go to patreon.com/Tim Andrews. You could come in at any level we have there. I haven't updated it yet. Been busy. We'll update it soon, because I added the DFT, Doodles from Tim. And then also, if you come in at the $25 level, then you are a producer of the show, and you get your choice of t-shirts. By the way, Tim Allen, thank you for buying our Halloween t-shirt. And
Tim is like the radio extraordinaire.
I don't know how people can find this. I guess they have to go to YouTube to find the merch stuff, right?
Yeah, you can get it at the bottom of every episode. We've got a link for the t-shirt store, or you know, you can pretty much get all kinds of stuff in there: hoodies, t-shirts,
vibrators.
Yeah, those are sold out.
Like that door.
We had to recall them after Jeff's fiasco. We had to recall those. So,
glory hole liners.
The DoorDash commercials of the, like, we know what you're ordering, and the lady's like stuffing a dildo into a bag, and then it's on the
jeez.
I think it's DoorDash, is it not? Yeah, you can get anything from DoorDash except cigarettes.
Plug the podcast.
The podcast is on hiatus for the next 2 weeks because of Georgia football. But I will be doing some podcast only versions. And the last episode, which I really had a lot of fun doing, was with Brian Troxell and John Babcock, who we've had on before. And
we got to talk about one. We're going to see Vape.
Do you
have a date yet?
I just listened to the episode. Yeah. That was awesome, guys.
Yeah, those guys were great, man. And then
that was really entertaining.
Down the rabbit hole talking about match game and all sorts of things. But it was fun. Those guys are always good guests, and they're both very funny. So anyway, yeah, patreon.com/Tim Andrews. Also, make sure that you like and subscribe to our YouTube channel. And even if you're just a podcast listener, if you go to the YouTube channel and subscribe, that helps us. And you know, just turn it on and walk away. That'll help too. But it's also fun to watch because Dustin does such a good job making the videos and putting the clips in, and they look really good. So congratulations to Dustin for doing such a good job. What else? Follow us on social media. We're all over the place. Facebook. We have a secret group, which isn't a secret. It's the Radio Shack, and you can hang out there and talk shit and post memes and just don't do anything that'll get you banned, right?
Yeah. Don't make Jeffrey Dahmer jokes, even though the show's super hot right now.
Wait, who made a Jeffrey Dahmer joke? Somebody get in trouble?
That was what Steph did and almost got the group shut down.
That was a while ago though, right?
She posted it last fall and it came out 2 weeks ago that it was a problem.
Oh, they didn't want any negative press for the series. Yeah, he ate people, but we don't want anybody joking about it. Or we make a ton of money off of it and don't give the victims' families anything. All right, enough of that. Mike, thanks for popping on the show with us. We hope everybody enjoyed Adam Murray, and thanks to him again. I am going to get him a shirt sent out, so... Until next week, please remember to... You ready, Mike?
Yeah.
Keep it betting.
To modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Did you know that many products for pregnant women do not have their own clinical trials for safety or efficacy? That's because pregnant women are often excluded from clinical studies. Ritual is aiming to set a new standard with their essential prenatal multivitamin. It's the number one best-selling prenatal and the only leading prenatal backed by its own human clinical trial. Essential Prenatal is proven to deliver key nutrients, including folate, biotin, and vitamin D during pregnancy. Moms taking Essential Prenatal had a lower overall cortisol level during pregnancy than those taking a leading prenatal. Plus, it's designed to be gentle on the stomach. Ritual doesn't just have your back. They have the receipts. Get 25% off at ritual.com/clinical. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.